Friends, in news recently, we've seen that Apple Corporation and the FBI are having a stand down over issues of privacy. And so I thought that it would be appropriate to discuss Jewish perspectives on privacy as part of that conversation. But before I do that, I thought I would share with you a creepy story, literally a creepy story, and then sing a little bit with you. The creepy story is about the ants who have taken over our house. And as I'm sure you know, now that they're coming out of hibernation and spring is practically here, those little pesky creatures are coming out in everybody's house. We have a gray countertop in the kitchen, which means that if you don't look carefully, you can't see these little annoying ants. But when you look a little bit more carefully, you understand that there's an invasion, an intrusion into our life. And that while we can look at each one as its own little thing and maybe snuff it out, you know where there's one case, there'll be more cases. So that's the creepy story, and I'll come back to that a little bit later. But now I want to invite you to sing with me Ma Tovu, which is in the prayer book one of the first prayers we sing, and I know a number of us in here know it. So let's just join in together, because I can't leave you with creepy images of ants quite yet. Ma Tovu, O Halecha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Yisrael. Ma Tovu, O Halecha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Israel. How goodly are your tents, Israel. That is a prayer recited by Bilam, the non-Jew who is hired to curse the Jewish people and finds himself unable to. And looking down at the Jewish tents, he declares this Ma Tovu O Halecha Yaakov, because he realized that every doorway to the tents was staggered and faced slightly away from everyone else. He understood that part of the essence of community and what was so special about this Jewish community he was encountering was its emphasis on privacy and modesty. And from that prayer that we just sang develops a very remarkable body of Jewish law and tradition around privacy. And in a couple of weeks, I hope after Kiddush to actually give a little class on these issues in more depth than we can do in a sermon. But the biggest central law that develops out of this Ma Tovu moment is an understanding of something known as chezek re'iyah, damage caused by seeing. That our eyes impact other people's lives, and that what we take in can damage them. It's a remarkable notion of the sanctity of other people's lives and of privacy. The law, as it comes down to us out of that notion and out of Ma Tovu with Bilam, actually instructs us that if two landowners are next to each other with their homes, they must together pay to build a wall so that neither one's window will look into the other person's house. It's not simply a passive not looking. We are obligated to take positive actions to ensure privacy can be maintained. And we not only can't look, or we can't just be concerned about others looking at us, we have to take positive steps to deter ourselves from the temptation to look. And if you ever walk down the street at twilight when all the lights are on in people's homes and you have a clear vision, you'll know what I'm talking about by that temptation. The human being is a curious creature. And yet, there are deep religious values for why we need privacy. And in order to understand that, I have to give you a quick background on the difference between American law and Jewish law. Because American law is built on rights. It is built on the notion of what society gives to me. And Jewish law is based on a sense of duties, of what I have to do and what sort of person I need to be. Judaism is intent on building a society in which holiness is part of it. And it understands that when it comes to privacy, there are certain goods that we have to preserve, human dignity being one of them. That when anyone can look into our lives in all the ways available to us now, there is a diminution of our own sense of human dignity. I think we also know that our friendships, the deepest and truest of our friendships, are just that, because these are the people with whom we share our vulnerability and our weaknesses. Friendship itself depends on a more global sense of privacy, so that we get to choose to whom we reveal and to whom we share the fullness of ourselves. And that notion of privacy extends into an unexpected area, as our tradition sees it. It comes out of an injunction to be like God, the imitatio Dei, that we are supposed to act as God does. And throughout the Torah, what we see is that God sometimes reveals the divinity to us, and in other times, there are areas where we are never going to get access. God has a certain distance. Moses himself, asking to see God's face, is told he cannot. So the issue of privacy, even on this level, in our imitation of God, says that we have a duty not to overshare, to reserve parts of our own lives with that. So we have this notion of human dignity, of friendship, of modeling ourselves on God, and of creating a society and a culture of holiness where all of those sanctities can be maintained. As the codes look at privacy and it comes down to the ages, one of our greatest legal decisors, Rabbeinu Gershom, in the year 1000 or so, wrote a legal decision which remains active to this day, forbidding us to read anybody else's mail. And this is a law not just upon individuals, but upon societies as a whole. And what is remarkable is that he says that the issue of privacy is not just about the one who sees or reveals, but the very act of knowing is prohibited. That my knowing, even if I don't reveal it, changes who I am and is a breakdown to some degree on the social fabric. So these are very interesting and I think profound notions of privacy. And while I myself would err towards the issue of privacy over security, in part because I think the issues of security are often overstated, whereas the damage and the danger and the security which is given up by relinquishing privacy is equally real, there is more to say about that. And for those who wish to stay in a couple of weeks after Kiddush, we'll have a chance to delve into these texts in greater and greater weight. But I just want to return to that image of those ants on the kitchen counter, the ones you don't see. You know, we call information aggregators crawlers, the very means of our algorithms that gather information about us crawl through our lives, and we don't really see them like individual ants until suddenly we look and it's too late and the entire counter is filled with this intrusion and this invasion. The FBI would have us lead that single acts don't matter. I wonder, as I look at my counter, whether there ever can be a single act in this world. I'll leave it to you to think about as we wrestle in American law with the extent of rights and what a government's duty is to protect us, to protect our bodies physically from dangers that are out in the world and that are real, but to protect our souls, our dignity, our freedoms as well. Shabbat Shalom.